today as we come to the table.
Well, Zipporah had married into the family, and this is her son. And it only says one of the sons wasn't circumcised, so probably one of them got circumcised. She did not like the outcome. She didn't like the blood. She didn't like the crying. She didn't like the screaming, all that. We don't know all the details. But Zipporah's like, you know what? When it comes time to circumcise, they found out they hadn't circumcised their second one. And probably what happened was she was like, look, we're not doing this. We did it once. We're not doing it again. And they're on their way down there. Abraham having this command from God, Moses now being the new leader of the children of Israel to lead them. If he's not above all following God and obeying, how are the people going to obey?
Moses certainly had a big task laying in front of him. Lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And it wasn't a tiny nation. It would be many people looking to him for leadership. That's a lot of pressure. But Moses wouldn't be alone. But he needed to constantly be following the Lord. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As you learn more about Moses' path back to Egypt, you'll find that obedience was key. Pastor Mark will tell you more about that in his message today. Obeying the commands of God would show the people Moses was about to lead how it's done. They needed guidance, and though Moses was flawed, he was still chosen by God to be that leader. With that, let's turn to Exodus chapter 4 and join Pastor Mark as he begins his message, God Establishes Moses.
Let's open up our Bibles to Exodus as we continue on in the book of Exodus. And tonight we are in Exodus chapter 4. Verses 27 through 31, we're finishing Exodus chapter 4, and we're looking at God giving Moses favor and authority. That's going to be kind of the theme of this, but really, the theme tonight is going to be God establishing Moses as their leader. Notice what it says there in chapter 4, starting in verse 27, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And so he went and met him on the mountain of God, and he kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. And then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. Wow. The end of chapter 4, guys, we get into really God establishing Moses as the leader of the nation of Israel. Now remember what God did. God gave Moses the call. And then Moses, after the little struggle that Moses went through on answering that call, we all know what he did, fighting with God about why he wasn't the right guy. Then Moses went. And then as Moses stepped out in ministry to obey the Lord, there was a little bit of family struggle there. If you remember, Zipporah had a hard time, you know, doing everything that God had asked for Moses to do, even with his own kids there, but he heard the call, he answered the call, and now when God gets him down to Egypt, we're going to see him establish Moses as the leader. And all of these are going to be essential elements if God ever puts a call on your life. And I should back that up and say, all these are essential elements when you recognize the call of God on your life. Because God has called every one of you, whether or not it's just to be his witness in your office or in your home, as a mom raising the kids, or whether it's in the street sharing the Lord, or whether it's behind a pulpit someday, it doesn't matter. It's all, you know, every one of us are called. The question is, are we going to answer the call? And then are we going to step out in the call? And if we do that, note this, and this is the third part of that, which we're going to see tonight, God will establish the call. Or should I say, God will establish the man or the woman of God. But now note this, there's a struggle in the process. In every one of these processes, there's a struggle. Don't think just because you answer the call of God, it's all going to be rosy-posy. When he got the call of God, he struggled with God. Am I really the one? Can I do this? I don't have the training. I don't have the ability. I don't speak good. No, whatever. And he goes on this whole thing, you know, all these arguments that he has. We all have those struggles. God, how could you use me? You know, I was reminded, I was speaking with another brother in the Lord just yesterday, talking about training for the ministry and all. And the question came up, where did the disciples go to Bible college? Answer? Yeah, Jesus is right, but before I say that, they didn't. They did, but they didn't. You follow me? They went to Jesus. They learned from Jesus, and he sent them out. Why do I say that? To encourage you. Don't feel like somehow God can't use you because you don't have a Bible degree or you don't have a seminary degree or you don't. Listen, you spend time with Jesus. You follow him all over the countryside. You spend that time in prayer and worship and, Lord, teach me and instruct me. God will raise you up and use you. And I guarantee if you do that, he's going to call you. Then when you step out, there's going to be difficulties. Now, you guys remember, you know, again, when he stepped out, Zipporah, she wasn't exactly happy with it. There was some family strife that came in after, you know, he stepped out. And there's going to be sometimes family strife. Maybe there'll be strife at work. Maybe there'll be strife and whatever. That's part of the battle. Understand, you're right on target. You're not out of line. You're right on target. And then now when Moses goes down here and God establishes him to the people by giving him authority and showing that he has the power of God in his life, they're going to love him at first, but then they're going to, you know, not everybody's going to love him. And as a matter of fact, as a group, they're going to hate him for a while. Why? Because oftentimes when God is doing a new work, it gets worse before it gets to where God wants it. Or as we would say, it gets worse before it gets better. I have new believers come to me and say, you know, I gave my life to the Lord and for years it just seemed so easy and so great. And all of a sudden it seems like it's getting harder. Like it's getting worse than it was before I knew the Lord. I've got more fights, you know, in the family, more struggles at work, more trials or whatever. I'm like, you're right on target, man. You're right on target. This is what it's all about. And then you start thinking, I don't know that I like what this is all about, right? No, it is. It's worth it. It's worth it because God is going to use you. He's going to make you into somebody you could never be if he didn't transform your life. And then God's going to use you in power. And so God's going to establish Moses tonight. He'll give him favor. He'll give him authority. Not everyone will like him. There'll be some that are rebellious and they'll turn against that. And so we're going to see that as well tonight. Now, last week we saw Moses again, remember, start the journey. And this is something to remember as he's heading down there. He's just had this real time of strife here and just trying to get down there to Egypt. God was going to kill him where we left off last week. And why? Because again, as he stepped out in the ministry, there was some family strife. And I think a lot of times, especially, you know, I speak from a young pastor. I guess I'm no longer a young pastor, but from a young pastor's viewpoint years ago going through that and talking to other pastors that went through it as well, there's a lot of mistakes you make when you first step out in ministry. And I can't speak for other things. I can only speak for being a pastor because that's my call. But there's the balance between making sure that you don't neglect your family, but that you're obedient to the Lord. Is everybody with me? And a lot of mistake that a lot of young pastors make, it goes both ways. Some young pastors don't really devote themselves enough to the Lord, and so there isn't really power in their life. They're not seeking God the way they should. And then some young pastors will actually neglect their own family, and it causes problems in the home. Now, I'm not saying Moses was neglecting his family here in this situation. As we saw last week, really what happened was is that pretty much, you know, God had given the command to Moses to Abraham for the children of Israel to circumcise their children. Well, Zipporah had married into the family, and this is her son. And it only says one of the sons wasn't circumcised, so probably one of them got circumcised. She did not like the outcome. She didn't like the blood. She didn't like the crying. She didn't like the screaming, all that. We don't know all the details. But Zipporah is like, you know what? When it comes time to circumcise, they found out they hadn't circumcised their second one. And probably what happened was she was like, look, we're not doing this. We did it once. We're not doing it again. And they're on their way down there. Abraham, having this command from God, Moses now being the new leader of the children of Israel to lead them, if he's not above all following God and obeying, how are the people going to obey? If I'm not trying my best to obey the word of God, now you guys hang out with me long enough, watch me here at church long enough, you'll see I'm not perfect. I never pretend to be, and you guys know that. That's just the reality of life, and I hope you don't, I know none of you that have been coming any length of time know that, but or you do know that if you've been coming any length of time. But the bottom line is that you still have to be striving to obey the Lord, seeking to obey the Lord, seeking to set that example, to be that model, watching what you do, where you do it, how you do it, and all those kind of things. You've got to be careful what you do because people are watching. And so Moses, again, is now not obeying the Lord to circumcise his own son, no doubt because of pressure from Zipporah. And then Zipporah, you know, figures it out when God's going to kill him. She comes in, circumcises her other son, throws the foreskin literally at Moses' feet and says, you're a husband of blood to me. In other words, I don't like this. And we're going to talk more about that later as we get into it. But notice here what happens. That just happened. And now we jump into verse 27 as Moses is heading on down to Egypt. It says, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And so he went and met him on the mountain of God. and he kissed him. Now, the whole time, Moses has been the one we've seen God interacting with. But we almost forget about Aaron. Aaron's a major player in this. And now God puts his hand on Aaron, calls Aaron into this whole thing, going to bring these two together to do ministry together. And note this, after all this time, no doubt 40 years, I doubt they'd seen each other. Now, if he snuck down or Aaron snuck up or something, I guess that's possible. The scripture doesn't nail that down for sure, as far as I know, but it's probably the first time they've seen each other in 40 years. Think about how emotional this would be. You know, some of you guys have family that live a long way away and you only see them every so many years, maybe not even that much at the holidays anymore. When you do, it's like, wow. You know, I mean, a lot of times we don't even recognize each other. We change so much. And there's just kind of that distance. So this was no doubt a very emotional thing. Can you imagine having a brother that ran off, you know, fleeing for his life and was in hiding for 40 years and all of a sudden you're reunited? So Moses and Aaron now have a lot of catching up to do. And Moses not only explains everything to Aaron, but he explains to him his role. He tells Aaron, you know, they start talking here. We're going to see that he tells Aaron what he's supposed to do, because later on in this, we find out that Aaron is going to be doing that. Moses will be telling Aaron the words that God tells him, and then Aaron will be telling the words to the people. Because you remember Moses' argument, God, I don't speak well. I don't speak well. Okay, you let Aaron do it. You know, it's funny, I don't speak well. Now, I speak a lot. But I jumble my words, and I don't consider myself a good speaker. And yet, you know, God says, just speak, and I'll give you the words to say. You don't have to be a great speaker to be able to be used by the Lord. But Moses, again, because he just felt he couldn't do it, he goes and says, all right, Aaron, do it. So God says, all right, Aaron, you can do it. No doubt if they're talking, he says, Aaron, look, I met with God, and they catch up. What did God say to you? God was moving in my heart. Moses, he told me to come meet him. And think about that miracle. He tells Aaron to come meet him. They hadn't seen each other in 40 years, and all of a sudden they meet at Mount Sinai. So that's a miracle in and of itself. No doubt when Moses saw Aaron and Aaron saw Moses, it was like, what are you doing here? It's like, well, God told me to come here. You're kidding. God told me to come here. We're supposed to go down there. What? You know, and they were right there in heart together. And now they begin to share with each other. You know, Aaron no doubt sharing what God had told him. Moses no doubt sharing what God had told him to Aaron and catching up and telling him his role and all these different things that he's going to speak. And then Aaron's going to speak to the people. And I love this because God had already been speaking to Aaron about what his call was. And this is cool to me because I've noticed this. Notice it says, the Lord said to Aaron, go and meet Moses. And I've seen this over the years. As God begins to do a new work, he'll not just move in the person's heart that he sends to do the work. God starts preparing people on the other side. So when God calls you guys and sends you guys to where he's going to send you, whether it's in kids ministry or men's ministry or women's ministry or missions or whatever ministry God calls you to, God is going to be preparing hearts on the other side. You'll find that when you come together, there's kindred spirits. There's a heart that's already prepared. So this is awesome because he and Aaron are there together. They're like-minded. And this is no doubt a huge confirmation to Aaron. Moses already knew that it was the Lord telling him to do it. I mean, he had some pretty amazing things happen. But guys, this brings up another thing that God will do when it comes to ministry and whatever God calls you to do. But it's going to be something that you need desperately in ministry. And what's that? Like-mindedness. Like-mindedness. Note that. In other words, Mark, what is like-mindedness? God will bring you with people that have the same heart, the same vision, and the same drive that you have. Pulling you the same direction. That you guys are going to be working together. And now we see them come together, and Aaron's like-minded with Moses. Moses is like-minded with Aaron, even though they hadn't seen each other forever. By the way, that's so essential in ministry. If you guys step out and do some kind of ministry, find people that have the same heart you do. If you've got a heart for kids, find somebody else with a heart for kids. And then find somebody else that has the same kind of idea you do about how the ministry is to be done. Begin to pray and ask God to raise them up. You look back at David's life and it says that when God raised David up and made him king, that God brought people around him. And they were like-minded. Yes, there were some that rebelled and they said, we don't want David to be our king. And who made him, you know, this and that. And they rebelled. But God raised people up around him that worked with him and loved him and, you know, had the same heart. That is huge when it comes to ministry. There's no substitute for it. It leads to a joy-filled life. It leads to a purposeful time because everybody's pulling together. And so note that. And notice it says here that God, I love this, God told Aaron to meet Moses at the mountain of God or at Mount Sinai. And as they met there, it showed them both that God was, as I said, speaking clearly to both of them, number one. But guys, note this as well. It gave them a snapshot of what it was they were to do with the people. I love this. Note this. Those of you who feel that you're called into ministry and you're called somewhere, so maybe I shouldn't even phrase it that way. But especially when it comes to pastors and assistant pastors, or any of you that feel called into something God is raising you up in, here's the bottom line. Moses and Aaron, I believe God had them meet at the mountain of God because that was going to be their call, to take people to the mountain of God. That's your job, gang. Your job is to study the word, to pray and ask for God to anoint it, and then to bring the people to the mountain of God. My job tonight is to bring you to the mountain of God. Now, the Holy Spirit has to do that. I can't do it, but I've got to study the word. I've got to share the word. I've got to pray and say, God, bring them to your mountain. Let them see your glory. Let them taste your goodness. Let their hearts be stirred in the same way you stirred mine and other people's. That's the job of the servant of the Lord. If you work in kids' ministry, your job is to bring those kids to the mountain of God. You work in the youth ministry, the women's ministry, the men's ministry. Again, go down the line of any ministry. Your job is to bring those people that are with you and under you to the mountain of God. That is where they can have a higher experience, a higher place with the Lord, and have a greater experience with the Lord. And notice it says that when they met each other, I love this, they kissed each other. Now, again, this was a normal greeting in that day. So don't get weird on this. You know, it wasn't a slow motion thing where they're running in front of Mount Zion, right? I mean, Mount Sinai. I keep saying Mount Zion. They still do this in the Middle East today. You guys have seen that. The Arab peoples and the Palestinian peoples, they do this kind of side kiss on the cheek. It's still a cultural thing today. It was a cultural thing back in that day as well. As a matter of fact, Paul talked about this when he wrote to the churches. He said, greet each other with a holy kiss. It was the way back then we would say, greet each other with a big hug. Greet each other with a big handshake. Tell each other you love each other. Show your love for one another. That's basically what this means. I'll never forget. I know I've shared this, but some of you hadn't heard it, so it's too appropriate to share it. I've got to share it right now. But a buddy of mine went to Bulgaria, and I remember him just being amazed at how he went to Bulgaria and went to the church, how they did the holy kiss, but he was shocked because the pastor grabbed him and kissed him right on the lips. And he's thinking, okay, Lord, I know the Bible says, you know, eat what's put in front of you and go with the culture, become all things to all men, but this is going to be hard to adjust. But if I just, you know, if I don't see that pastor very much, you know, I can handle this, but that's a hard one, kissing a guy on the lips. That is certainly not my culture. So he's there for a while doing that. Then they travel to other churches. And he finds out that he's preparing himself. You know, you start looking at the pastor to find out what he looks like. You know, this guy's going to be kissing me. Anyway, nobody else did it. Nobody else did it. So he asked one of the Bulgarian pastor, Ludmil, that was there with him. He said, hey, how come these guys don't do the holy kiss and those guys do? He said, holy kiss? What are you talking about? He said he kind of felt horrible on the inside. He said, you know, the holy kiss. He said, we have no such custom in Bulgaria. So this guy just kissed him. Now, I don't know what's going on there, but. But notice also, guys, not only did they meet at the mountain of God because that was going to be God setting the example of where they were going to be taking people, okay? To hear the voice of God, to see the glory of God. Remember, at the mountain, they'll see the fire, the thunder, the lightning, the cloud. They're going to hear the trumpet blast and the voice of God. That's their job to do, is to take people to that mountain. And there's a beautiful spiritual analogy there that we apply to ourselves. But also, this is cool to me. Notice he said, go and meet him in the wilderness. Now, I know that it was a literal wilderness, okay? I recognize that. But there also is another spiritual application here. See, the Bible tells us that God gave us his word to not only tell us what happened, but to give us an example of the way we're to live and how we walk in Christ. And I love the fact that he called Aaron to meet Moses in the wilderness. Where had Moses been already for the last 40 years? In the wilderness. Guys, before God called John the Baptist to his ministry, where did he take him for years? The wilderness. Start noticing when God begins to work in someone's life and he's going to do a work in their life, he will first take us to the wilderness. Why does God take us to the wilderness? Because what God is teaching us in those wilderness times is that, here's the bottom line, I want you to learn to be alone with me. Get away. Seek me in the word by yourself. Seek me in prayer by yourself so I can talk to you, so you can talk to me, so we can learn to hear each other. I hear you fine, Mark, but you've got to learn to hear my voice. I remember somebody saying, you know, Mark, when you pray, just try to be quiet and wait on the Lord for a while. Do you know how hard that is for me to do? Lord, I'm being quiet right now, Lord. I'm being quiet and I'm listening for your voice. Thank you, Lord. My ears are wide open, Lord. I'm trying my best right now, God, to hear your voice. And I'm like, this will never work, God. You got to do something. And I would sit there and just force myself, just. And I kind of look around, you know, waiting, am I going to, you know? And it's not like God's going to go, all right, now listen up. It's not going to be like that. But it's learning to get quiet, and I can actually do that now. I can learn to get quiet for a moment before the Lord. That was very hard at the beginning for me. But guys, we need to learn, and more than even just the quiet, we need to learn to have that wilderness time. get away into the wilderness. Moses had been having that time where God could speak to him. He could speak to God. John the Baptist had learned to have that time. Now, Aaron needed to learn to have that time, because the bottom line is that if we're going to be able to work together in ministry, if we're going to be used in ministry, and then if we're going to work with other people in ministry, we have got to learn to be in the wilderness. One of the things that I ask our ministry teams to do is pray together. You know, pray together. Worship team, come together early and pray together. You know, so they do that early on Thursday. They come together and they pray before they have practice. Why? Because I want them to learn to hear the voice of God together, to be in tune with God together. There's a reason for it. Meet me in the wilderness. Now, that's in a group. And so you get the example here. It's not just the wilderness that needs to be, obviously, but it needs to be in a group and it needs to be alone. But listen, if you don't have any wilderness time, and I'm not talking about empty, dry, there's other applications. Here's my application. If you don't have a wilderness time where you're getting alone to seek the Lord, God can never use you in any great way. You're limiting how God can use you. Why? Because you don't have any greatness in you in and of yourself. Only God's greatness can come through us. So as we spend time with God, he fills us up, he funnels through us, and then God's greatness comes out. God's power comes out. And God says, I need you, Aaron, to be in the wilderness, because I need you to be in tune with Moses, who's already been in the wilderness. And so you need that time alone with God. That's huge. Now, I already mentioned this. I guess I didn't mention the fact that Zipporah is not seen with him. But I did mention the issue about Zipporah, and I guess this is a good a place as any to address this. Notice that when they set out, Zipporah had been with him. Zipporah and the kids, when they got in the Nissan camel and headed down toward, you know, the Nissan burrow and headed down toward Egypt, the wife and the kids were in the back, you remember? And now all of a sudden we see Moses and Aaron meeting, and there's no mention of Zipporah or the kids. Why? Well, it appears at this point Moses sent Zipporah and the kids back to her dad's house, the father-in-law, until he finished what he was going to do in Egypt, because no doubt the difficulty that he was having with Zipporah and their relationship at that time. Now, I'm not saying their marriage was bad. That's not my point. But he realized that Zipporah was not in the same place he was. And we don't see Zipporah again. Now, there could be an argument made, well, maybe he was worried about her safety. I don't believe that, because, again, God's the one that keeps them safe. God would have kept Zipporah safe. So this is no doubt a little bit of family issue going on here. And, guys, I'll bring up another point. Again, when you step out in ministry, the enemy's going to attack in your family. And although she no doubt loved God as well as Moses did, she most certainly had not yet been in the place with God that Moses was. And this is not unusual when a man is called into the ministry. And again, a lot of this stuff, you guys have to bear with me. I come from a pastor's viewpoint, because I have been around pastors my whole life, you know, and I am a pastor myself. And so I kind of know what pastors go through. But God typically speaks to the man first and then the wife. But let me take this beyond the pastoral. It happens in your families as well. Ladies, God will speak to your husband most of the time before he speaks to you. And typically what I find is, if God begins to speak really loud to Tracy about something, it's not that God hasn't already spoken to me, it's I'm too dull at the time to hear it. She's more in tune to the Spirit because of whatever the reason might be, maybe busyness, maybe whatever. You know, maybe I hadn't been in the Word and prayer like I should, but God will oftentimes, most often I believe, and I guess I can't say 100%, speak to the man first, but often until they both hear, there's a little bit of a struggle.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and His awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for His people. His love and care for them is what compels Him to do unheard acts to prove that He's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for His people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and He wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and His unrelenting loyalty to His people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.